in Gatos, a KTAR News special series, Arizona's Immigration Crisis.
It's Mac and Gatos, and we are covering the news, and goodness, the news is immigration. It is the crisis, and here on KTAR, we're running this special series throughout the week. Earlier today, Peter Seymour joined us, KTAR news reporter, in studio. He toured the border. He has been at port of entry. He has seen rescues of Central Americans. He's been reporting on that throughout the day.
He's the only one, they said. Border Patrol said, you're the only reporter that actually has documented a rescue out of, I think it was a canal.
Yeah, with a mom with two little kids.
Yes.
So, Arizona's immigration crisis. Yesterday, we talked to Arizona Governor Doug Ducey. He joins us in studio for a monthly appearance. And we thought we'd play a couple of minutes of that, if you didn't get to hear it yesterday, because it was about the immigration crisis. It was about Central Americans being dropped, you know, not only in Phoenix, but elsewhere in Arizona. Over 24,000 since December 21st dropped right here in our state. So we wanted to give you a little bit of a listen to it. Here's the first question I asked Arizona Governor Doug Ducey. Governor, we've got a crisis at the border. We're talking about it all week here on KTAR. So Trump says we should bus migrants to sanctuary cities. Instead of maybe busing them into Phoenix, we should give them a ticket to go to San Francisco. Do you like that plan?
Well, what I don't like are all the politics around this. I'm trying to work on the policy and actually get some action. Let me talk about how this crisis is affecting Arizona as a border state. I was at the border last week with the vice president. Right now, Texas is so overwhelmed. Texas is shipping migrants from El Paso into Phoenix. Yuma, Arizona is so overwhelmed. They are shipping migrants from Yuma into Phoenix. These people are going somewhere. What we ought to be doing is working on a solution. What everyone's trying to find, at least on my side of the equation, is some action out of Congress. There's a real attempt to get attention at that level. But in Arizona, they do have our attention. Our nonprofits are overwhelmed, and communities like Yuma just simply are not equipped for this crisis right now.
So can you say, as governor, we're closed? I mean, can you say to the people in El Paso, to the people in Yuma, Phoenix, we just can't do this. You've got to find another city like Albuquerque or San Diego. You can't keep dropping them off here.
The federal government doesn't ask permission before they bring people your way. You have to work with the local law enforcement, the local nonprofits.
Not even a heads
the
up,
churches.
Right?
Well, we've worked with them now where we are getting a heads up.
Oh,
but I do think that other states, other cities, should share in this crisis. They should be part of the solution. But the real way to act on this is for Congress to act, to stop the incentives that are basically saying to people, if you get here, you can get across the border and you don't have to leave. We don't have that type of relationship with Mexico. It's much better, and we're able to deal with the immigration problems with much more urgency and immediacy. But when you talk about Central America and South America, the rules are different, and they do say to these very poor people in a humanitarian crisis that if you can join one of these groups that are bringing people, trafficking people over the border, you can stay here. That's not how our laws work, but that's how the marketplace is working. And they're taking these people's life savings in many cases. And what's happening to women and children, it's completely unacceptable. Our Congress can act on this. It won't solve the problem 100%, but it can be 1,000% improvement.
So can you explain really quickly, why is it Phoenix? Why are they? I get from Yuma, closest major metropolitan area. Why are they being bused from El Paso all the way to Phoenix?
That doesn't make sense to me at all, and that's what we're working with ICE and CBP right now. But oftentimes, it's just the closest point of entry. How
they should go to Dallas. I mean, it makes no sense.
Well, there should be a change in the law to address this. We had 67,000 people that came across the border and were apprehended in February. On March 25th, 3,700 people on Arizona's southern border. That's the most that have been apprehended in 11 years. This is at, you know, near all-time highs.
Since 08.
70,000 people came across in February without documentation.
Arizona Governor Doug Ducey in studio is monthly exclusive. So are you opposed to Trump's plan, or are you? And I'm with you where I don't like the politics of it either. And I've said this on the radio. It's not the worst plan in the world. Why can't San Francisco take some people who are coming in through our border here in Arizona? Why can't Chicago?
Oh, I don't think any, you know, Phoenix has got more than its fair share of the burden.
Right.
So does Tucson. So does Yuma. I don't have any problem with other cities taking up a part of the burden. Mm-hmm. I think that's fine. What I don't want to do is use politics to solve what is a real policy issue. But if we need to do this to get attention from Congress, whatever it takes to get Congress to act, this is going to get worse before it gets better. And we know it's beautiful right now in Phoenix, but our temperatures are ticking up. This is going to put people in real danger mm-hmm. if Congress doesn't act on this and if there isn't a solution in the next several weeks.
Let's talk about the trip to the White House. Before you left for the White House, it was a couple weeks ago when you went to meet with Trump. It sounded like, from a sound clip that we had, you did not want to see the border shut. And that's basically what you said. Of course, I don't want to see the southern border shut. And that's when Trump was trying to get it possibly shut. And then when you came out of the meeting, it seemed like you said, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, Governor, but it was basically, if the president decides to shut the border, we will,
I'll support it.
What happened there? Because it sounded like one day you definitely didn't want it shut, and then the next day you said, well, if it has to be shut, I guess it has to be shut.
I don't want to see the border shut. I do not want to see the border shut. I've been absolutely consistent on this issue. If the president makes the decision to shut the border, and I say I want to see the border shut for the shortest amount of time possible, he is the commander-in-chief. He has a better view on what's happening in terms of national security. Of course, I'm always going to be supportive of my country, mm-hmm. but as a border governor or somebody who knows how important commerce is to the state of Arizona, but I prioritize public safety above avocados and commerce, and I'm going to continue to prioritize public safety. So the press wanted to go crazy on that. They always want to start a fight or try to pit elected leader against elected leader. We're going to have a good relationship with Mexico. They're our number one trading partner, but I am the governor of Arizona. We're a border state, and we need to do what needs to be done to make sure we're ensuring public safety.
All right, that's Arizona Governor Doug Ducey. He joined us for his monthly exclusive interview. I mean, there's a lot there. There's a lot there. He's not opposed to that plan of moving some of the people who come into the United States from Central America claiming asylum, moving them to a sanctuary city.
Well, I don't think he said sanctuary cities necessarily. Didn't he say other cities need to step up? I mean, I don't care what city it is, but I mean, just somebody else step up and say, we can help you with the burden here.
Yeah, yeah. And don't do what the president did. He made it a punishment.
Right.
And that was ridiculous.
Right.
It's not a punishment. Listen, Arizona has done a great job in trying to help some of these Central Americans because...
Well, we've had to.
You have to.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do? Because they are coming in legally. It doesn't mean that their story will flesh out at the end. I mean,
right.
It doesn't mean that,
right.
But it means that they passed a test to be dropped or to be let off somewhere in Phoenix. But
and let's be clear here: a sanctuary city is not a city that allows Central Americans to stay there, because I think it's starting to be really clouded.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is going after the cities that don't release names or numbers or reports to ICE.
Right.
That's what a sanctuary city is. They don't cooperate with ICE. Okay.
Right.
By Trump politicizing this, he's opening himself
to... He blew it.
Right, right. Instead of just saying to ICE or Border Patrol or whomever, you know, take them here. Take them to this city. And don't make it political.
Let's have some other cities help out. So
there you go.
So Phoenix doesn't spend millions of dollars.
There you go.
It's not that hard.
Instead, he's got now Gavin Newsom from L.A. and I think Mayor Brown from San Francisco basically insulting him, you know, and tweeting about him and stuff like that. But you're absolutely right. If you had just said, hey, we're going to make sure that, and again, I'm just off the top of my head, Albuquerque, Dallas, and let's say New Orleans. Okay. You know, other cities around border states mm-hmm. are going to help out. This would have never gotten to the attention nor the backlash that it has, because at its core, it's a good idea.
Right.
Until you say, I'm punishing you for being a sanctuary
city. He did it out of hate for the Democrats.
There you go.
who have stunk on this issue, but so have Republicans. They haven't done anything either.
Right.
But he shouldn't have done it out of hate. He should have done it because it was a good idea. And he should have done it because it would have helped alleviate some of the pressure that Arizona is feeling. But he went about it the wrong way. The idea is good when he politicized it as, let's screw the Democrats with this. And it's not, by the way, it's not a punishment to send a Central American to San Francisco.
No, it's not.
It shouldn't be.
In fact, it's legal.
It could be very helpful for that person.
What I'm saying is they came here through the legal loophole.
Right.
It's not as though the government is harboring illegal immigrants.
Right. They are here legally.
There you go.
And they will have a court date if they show up.
Right.
Are our laws, outdated? You're darn right.
Mm-hmm.
And both parties need to do something about it, but they won't. All right. Coming up next, the U.S. Postal Service is testing a new air horn in Phoenix.
Why? What?
We'll tell you why.
All right.
You actually might hear it outside of your house.
Lovely.
That's coming up in a second.
It's Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
All right, Mac and Gatos on demand. Don't miss any of the show. Make sure you subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. It's Mac and Gatos podcast brought to you by Stampede Plumbing. Do you know who your postal carrier is? Would you recognize that person?
No.
Okay.
Why? Does that make me a bad person? You're looking at me?
I've talked to my mail carrier a couple
of
times.
You have the same one?
Yeah. Hmm. And they're always very nice.
I don't know if I have the same one. Shut up.
Anyway, I've asked them a couple of times, because they walk. They walk through our neighborhood. It's kind of weird. Usually you just see the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And they one of them said, the only thing I don't like is rude people. And I said, what about dogs? And the person said, I don't mind dogs. I can charm them all I want. And he took out some dog treats. He said, it's rude people that I can't do anything about.
Funny.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 2018, the United States Postal Service, the USPS,
yes,
known as USPS, reported 5,700 dog attacks on postal employees nationwide. 73 in Arizona. 24 in Phoenix. So it seems that the Postal Service has a new horn for dogs. Are you ready to hear it?
A new horn?
It's a new horn.
Mm.
Okay. Oh, that's annoying. That hurts. Did you hear that?
Yeah, that's going to stop dogs.
Well,
dogs have higher frequency hearing up. Maybe it's the stuff we can hear that the dogs will be like.
Man and man's best friend, and now there's a new weapon to keep everybody safe.
Yeah, it's a new air horn. It's a new air horn, and it sounds bad.
It may just be a simple air horn, but this is the United States Postal Service's latest weapon against dog attacks. Last year, the post office reported just under 6,000 dog attacks on postal employees nationwide, 73 here in Arizona and New Mexico, and 24 in Phoenix.
You ever bite a postal service worker?
No, never had to. Have you?
The carriers will tell you.
If it's got teeth, it bites.
See, that's why I asked it.
That'd be Gatos, yeah.
I've got teeth.
You do.
Not all dogs are vicious, but in fact, while we were out shooting this story, a small pack of dogs came right around the corner towards us and the mail carrier.
Oh, well, that's because you're on the territory.
You're on the dog's territory?
Yeah, you're on the dog's territory. If a small pack of dogs come around the corner after you, that's their turf, man. You got to go.
They're not,
it's like jets and sharks.
They're not coyotes.
No, man, it's about turf, man. Okay. Haven't you ever seen The Wire?
Well, can we hear some more? No, I have not. Can we hear some more from ABC 15, our very good friends?
This can happen every block, every house.
In this situation, that far away, I would have used the air horn. But if we're doing 10 feet, I'm going to use the dog spray.
The air horn is currently testing here in Phoenix, but joins the dog spray and carrier satchel as a method of defense.
You got
a satchel. Oh, there we go.
I like satchels.
I love a satchel. It's not a purse. It's a satchel.
It's absolutely not a purse.
The benefit, allowing the carrier to be far enough away and scare the animal off at the same time.
They perk up and they don't like the sound. The small dogs have a tendency just to stop and try to wonder what it is.
Why do you need to do anything to a small dog? Is a small dog going to do anything to you?
You put it in the satchel.
You don't put the small dog in a satchel.
You basically, back off, I've got my satchel.
working to reduce the number of dog attacks, keep the carrier safe, and deliver the mail. Neither the snow nor rain.
All right, enough of you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the sound.
There's no snow in Phoenix, dude. Come on. All right. That, you know, that's annoying.
Yeah. How about this one?
That's the one they ought to use.
That's an awesome one.
That's a good one.
Hey, Becky Lynn, what do you think of that horn?
Annoying.
Ow! Loud.
It works, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely. That's one of
those
dogs.
It's one of those things that people use in like a stadium,
right? Air horn, right. Right.
It's going to be a long show because I got an air horn now.
Oh, my gosh. Take that away from him.
Becky Lynn, during your 3:30 news.
Do not blow that. Do not.
But
no.
It's not the first time he's been asked that.
How about just once? Can I do it once?
Well, if there's an appropriate story.
There isn't.
I'll
do not even give him.
She said yes.
Out.
No,
she,
I said
see?
I have to point to you.
Oh, all right.
All right.
You're like
right.
A sound effect on standby.
New horn in Phoenix to prevent dog attacks.
I'm telling you, if I hear this thing, I am running outside. Don't. Stop it. Let the dog bite you. I don't want to hear your feet. Yeah. No, no, no. The other one.
Okay.
The other one's worse with your satchel.
Coming up next. Becky Lynn's got the news. When we come back, why are Central Americans being rewarded with a new phone after stepping on American soil? Next.
Drive home informed and entertained with Mac and Gatos, 2 to 6 p.m. on KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Mac and Gatos, Arizona's afternoon news, KTAR News, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
All right, Mac and Gators pay tribute to a teacher. Make sure you text the word teacher to 411-923, as we love recognizing great teachers in our community once a month with $1,000.
Hey, we're going to talk about three losers.
Mm-hmm.
This is disturbing, man. So when you look at politics, I can't think of three bigger losers. Don Shooter.
Okay.
Ex-lawmaker.
And why is he an ex-lawmaker?
Sexually harassing women for years.
There you go.
Okay, he's a pig. Then you've got David Stringer. What a loser.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's not bad enough that he is a racist.
Former lawmaker.
But he's also a pedophile.
Right.
Okay, and then you also got Roy Moore. Do you remember Roy Moore?
Oh, I do. Roy Moore is the guy from Alabama that got kicked out of the mall back in the 80s for hitting on younger girls. And this started coming out, and Trump threw his support behind Roy Moore, and people thought, oh, my goodness, what if he were to be elected, we'd have to make him step down. So nobody wanted – I shouldn't say nobody. People did not want this man in the Senate, and he almost won.
Okay. These three losers, these three losers are in the news, and we'll tell you why.
Okay.
All right. First of all, Roy Moore, you thought you heard the last of this guy.
No, he may be reelected down in Alabama.
Well, I think elected. I don't think he's ever been elected. So,
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
So he may get the seat.
You're right. You're right. I was thinking of Don Shooter, because Don Shooter was in the Arizona legislature. Right.
Roy Moore, Alabama. Former Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice. He is leading the Republican field, vying for the party's 2020 nomination.
How? How does the Republican Party not say thanks, but sit down?
We don't.
How does the Republican Party even let this guy run?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. He is a stain on Alabama.
Yeah.
This is a guy who was clearly an adult and was calling high schools and asking, hey, listen, do you think you can go get Jill out of, P.E.?
Right.
Or can you get her out of algebra? Because I need to talk to her. We're supposed to hook up later.
Right.
I mean, oh my goodness.
Right.
Come on. There's got to be somebody better to run.
That's
almost
exactly
anybody.
What I'm saying. Alabama. Are you kidding me?
So,
come on.
Congratulations to Alabama. I thought they got it right the first time. Hopefully they'll get it right the second time. You don't need a pervert like this in office. So, Roy Moore, goodness gracious, mother of all creatures, big and small. Come
I know.
On.
But we could be going through this again if he keeps leading the primary, right?
Leads the Republican field to challenge the no-name that won, the Democrat, Doug Jones. No one's ever heard of that guy.
God.
I don't. But again, He's not Roy Moore, so I like
him. No, yeah, I do too.
Okay,
yeah.
So Roy Moore is in the news. Excuse me, we told you Don Shooter and David Stringer are in the news.
Now, why are they back in the news? Because they are supposedly former legislators who have been disgraced.
Are you ready for this?
I don't know. I don't
Hold
think
on
so.
To your buttocks.
Okay.
Former state, and I thought we were done with these two guys.
Right.
Former state representative Don Shooter. Expelled from the Arizona legislature, sexually harassed women. Do you know what he's saying?
Okay.
He's saying that the Arizona legislature treated David Stringer more fairly.
Come on.
He's complaining.
Come on.
That he was treated unfairly, but David Stringer got a fair shake.
Okay. Let's remember, Don Shooter was accused of harassing women, right?
Correct, yes.
J.D. Mesnard, then the Speaker of the House, investigated.
Correct.
And he found that there was more to this story than we had ever known, mm-hmm. and it came out, and Don Shooter was basically fighting for his job. In fact, we talked to Mesnard the day before, and he was kind of like leaning toward, you know, we're gonna give him a second
slap
chance. On the wrist, yeah. Right? We're not gonna expel him. That would set a bad precedent. The people of Yuma actually voted for this. Blah blah blah. And then Don Shooter, within 24 hours, signed his own death certificate or death warrant or whatever.
Right.
By doing something really stupid, and Mesnard basically said, "Hey, I can't do anything else for you, Shooter."
Shot himself in the foot.
That's a cleaner way of saying it than I was going to say,
yeah.
But you're absolutely right. He shot himself in his own foot and put himself out of there.
Remember the mic drop? He actually did a mic drop. He said his piece. He took the microphone. He put it out in front of him. He dropped it, and he left. So he was kicked out.
Right.
Okay. David Stringer, well, he was going to get kicked out. And they had the goods on him, and so he said, you know what, I think I'm just going to leave.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Now Stringer, who is a longtime legislator and lawyer, he had said some really cloaked racist stuff, right? And people called him out. Then we find out back in the 80s he was soliciting teenagers at a park in Baltimore City.
One of the little kids was disabled.
Right.
He paid that kid $10 for sex.
So he
$10,
and not just once either.
Oh, it was this I know. Is just horrific.
I know. So he steps down, but Shooter is saying I got a raw deal?
Oh,
come on.
I want to throttle all of these guys. Shooter, Stringer.
I know.
Moore.
I know.
Oh. Okay.
Boy.
Coming up, we still have the Big Four at 4. We're gearing up for it. We're about 25 minutes away. We bring you the Big Four at 4 at 4:05. Four big blockbuster stories. Stick around.
Drive home informed and entertained with Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's afternoon news with Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
About 15 minutes away from the Big Four at 4. We're going to bring you four big blockbuster stories. And a big story one we have got to talk about. Because road rage has become a major problem in the Valley. We're going to prove it to you. We're going to tell you why. And I think a lot of people are starting to freak out on the roads, especially since, I would say, January. Things have taken a turn for the worse. So stick around for Big Story 1 and the Big 4 at 4 coming up. All right, you know I like these self-driving cars, Mac.
Yeah.
I think they're the wave of the future. It'll get us away from light rail,
right.
Old technology.
Well, it turns out they're like David Stringer.
Oh, jeez. Well, David Stringer is a pedophile and a racist.
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 People with dark skin may be more likely to be hit by an autonomous vehicle compared with lighter-skinned people.
That's wonderful.
this is not making a goof. This is what the people from Georgia Tech, they are
Bulldogs.
Saying. No.
Sorry.
Georgia Tech are the bees or something like that. Yellow Jackets? Yeah, I think Yellow Jackets.
What's Georgia Tech? The Yellow Jackets?
Yellow Jackets.
What did I say?
Bulldogs. That's Georgia.
Not even close.
They're in the same state.
Well, no, I'm saying my guess wasn't even close.
Correct. Autonomous vehicles have to calculate risks, which I've always said is going to be the problem. We can see a pothole. We know where a pothole is. Does an autonomous vehicle know what a pothole is?
They should. Well, they're just not. They're not perfect. They're never going to be perfect. People are still going to die.
But now they're racist.
Oh, jeez.
But people with dark skin may be more likely to be hit by a self-driving car compared to lighter skinned people.
I just played that clip. Why are you repeating it? We have precious time here.
Well,
we only got two more minutes left.
I'm terribly sorry. Give us your thesis on this.
People with dark skin may be more likely to be hit by an autonomous vehicle.
Wait, I just said that.
Skinned people.
You're wasting time.
He said it better than you did.
Oh. According to a new study from Georgia Tech. The researchers said they were motivated by anecdotal stories about various machine learning and vision systems.
I don't know what that means.
I have no idea.
Having trouble identifying people with darker skin tones. For something like facial recognition as a password, those errors are frustrating. But with self-driving cars, they could be fatal.
I don't get it.
Basically, they have a tough time. The darker you are, the less likely they are to see you, recognize you, and if you're walking across the street, stop. So it sounds like...
Well, that's going to be...
that's a little that's bit of a problem.
That's a sticky point
yes,
here.
Yes, it is.
Oh, man.
On many different levels for many different reasons.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so if I... You know, look, do I like the idea of automated cars, autonomous cars? Yes. Do I really think it's going to be... Like, when we were back in the 60s and 70s and we were looking at, you know... we were all going to wear unitards and go on flying cars to work like the Jetsons. It's just not... It's not feasible. It's just not feasible.
It's
I'm sorry.
It's not feasible in your mind.
Right.
But they
Which means it's not true.
They do have the technology, and it is getting better.
This is a big roadblock, well, if you'll pardon the pun.
It's not getting better for black people.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Hispanics, you're out of...
You're in that gray area.
You know?
You're in that gray area if you're Hispanic, man.
If you're white, I guess you're okay because these cars.
If you're Mariah Carey, better than Mariah Carey than say somebody darker.
They clearly need to fix this problem.
You and I would never be hit because we stand out because we're pasty white.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
So people of color could be at risk if self-driving cars aren't. It says properly trained.
Properly trained.
I think it's a
sensitivity training.
It's a technology problem. They're more likely to hit darker skinned people.
Or is it training because they have, what is that called, unconscious bias?
Maybe.
Autonomous cars are consciously biased against black people?
Goodness. Coming up next, the Big Four at 4. We got four big blockbuster stories ahead.